Welcome to episode 411 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. And it is here, Josh.
One of my favorite weeks, E3, but not just E3. You're not really talking about E3. You're talking about Project Scorpio, aren't you?
I'm talking about all of it. We found out a lot, lots of good stuff to talk about, and we'll be getting into that as our feature on this episode. But first, let's dive into some feedback. We have a message from John, and John got a hold of us through email. You can send us email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or use the feedback form on the website. John says, I've been meaning to mention this since you guys first mentioned disk to digital on Vudu. I think it's a great way to cheaply upgrade my old DVD collection to HD versions and have them available to my family on most any platform they want to watch it on. And then I ran into something that wasn't mentioned. It was all going well until I got the message, you can no longer add any more movies. The limit is 100 titles per year. Since I've been collecting DVDs since 1996, I do have more than 100 titles to convert. So this is a bit of a disappointment. I guess come March 2018, I should have most of my DVD collection digitally backed up. Other than that, Vudu is a pretty good experience for my family since it works with Ultraviolet and Disney Anywhere titles. Yeah. So we had some conversation with John through email when he sent this message, and this was a big surprise to me, but sure enough, it's in the fine print.
Yeah, and it's actually not even that fine of fine print. It's just near the bottom of the page. I totally missed it myself. Now, I'm not actually doing this, but I did look at this news article, and I totally didn't notice that either. And I'm betting that they thought, how many, like, I'm sure they have, like, obvious business reasons why they did this. But I'm sure they also thought, how many people are actually going to do this for more than 100 movies in a year?
Right.
It has to be a pretty small number.
That's $500 right there. But admittedly, $500 is like the cost of, you know, 15 to 16 Blu-ray discs. So not really that expensive compared to the upgrade cost. So, yeah, anyway, I agree with your point. I think it's a great way of getting it out there. Thanks for letting people know. We wanted to let our listeners know about this limit. Now, what I don't know is, does this reset or is it rolling? How does this work in terms of the 1 year? So I'll be curious to hear come March 2018 if, in fact, you're at a point where you can start converting again and it lets you do that without any difficulties. So we'll mark on the calendar, get back in touch with John. Okay.
Totally. Cool. All right. So that's it for our feedback. Like Richard said, if you want to send us a message for next week, you can do that by emailing us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All right, Richard. It was E3. It's one of my favorite events of the year. I've never been to E3 myself. That'd be kind of cool, although it sounds like a lot more waiting in lines than what we're used to at CES, so yeah. Maybe not quite so cool.
Yeah, but I mean, this sounds for you like my light fair, right? Except probably a lot more cheering and applauding than at light fair generally.
Do they even have keynotes at at light fair?
No, they have training sessions and things like that, but I'm right. Not aware of any keynotes.
Yeah.
Woo, I wouldn't expect it that. Dims now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Light bulb fanboys. Right. Okay. So, man, I don't even know how to transition from that. So, obviously, we're going to focus on Microsoft's announcements from E3, but this isn't a Microsoft show. It is a video game show. It is the biggest video game expo of the year around, well, in some aspects, some of the other shows are bigger, but in terms of like importance, it doesn't get bigger than E3 in the video game space. And so Microsoft was there, Sony was there, of course, Nintendo was there, everybody's there. But we're going to focus mostly on Microsoft. We'll touch on, you know, how it relates to Sony, and well, probably not Nintendo at all. So let's get right into this. Obviously, the big news was the Scorpio, and we have an actual name for it. I was wrong, Richard. I thought that the official name would be the Xbox One Scorpio.
No.
And it's not.
No. That didn't make any sense. They wouldn't have done that.
They've stuck with code names before in other areas. So, and Scorpio is a pretty awesome name.
It is an awesome name, but you know, it's a code name. So,
right.
But we have a name instead that is, much harder to say without tripping over it.
Yeah. It is the Xbox One X, which if you say it out and you're saying it kind of quickly, doesn't sound that much differently than Xbox One S. Xbox yeah. One S, Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Maybe that's intentional. I'm not sure. I don't know. Think it would be.
I don't know. Also probably prone to typos too, because X and S right next to each other.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I noticed was if you were to try to abbreviate all of this and you separated the X and the B in the word Xbox, you would end up with XBOX.
Xbox. Oh my God, it's recursive.
Yep. It's the recursive Xbox. So my very initial reaction to this was, that's kind of a dumb name. It's starting to grow on me though. What do you think? Do you like the name?
I don't mind it. I think it's kind of cool.
It's fine, I guess. It's not that big of a deal. All right. So they also hit on a couple of points that they've mentioned before, but they definitely are worth repeating. It's still an Xbox. You know, it has Xbox One in the name. It is still an Xbox One. That means that all of your Xbox One accessories, all of your controllers, if you bought a steering wheel, different headsets, your Kinect, all of that stuff will still work with the Xbox One X if you're upgrading from an Xbox One or an Xbox One S. Wow, this is already getting hard to talk about.
Yeah, really. I just want to know, though, are you going to have to get a converter to the Xbox One X for your Kinect so that you daisy chain your Xbox One S converter to your Xbox One X converter? Or never mind. But yeah,
No,
you won't. I hate that converter for the Kinect. I absolutely hate it.
Yes, it is gigantic. It's not cool at all. You know, while we're talking about plugging things like a Kinect in, one of the cool things is if you have an Xbox One S and you're buying an X, you could unplug everything from the S and plug everything into the X in the exact same way. All of the ports match up. Power, both HDMI inputs, USB inputs, they're all in the same order. They're all in the same place.
I'm actually disappointed by that.
Really? Why? Yeah.
I had hoped that they would add another HDMI out so that they could solve the audio problem.
That would have been awesome. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Unfortunately, no. No dice. Okay. So it also looks different. It doesn't look drastically different. That was another thing we didn't really know. They showed it. This was the very first thing they showed. And, you know, I had a friend over watching it with me so that we could watch it together in 4K from Microsoft's Mixer stream of it. And we were both like, that's just a black Xbox One S. Is that really what the Scorpio is? And it is. It doesn't look exactly like the Xbox One S. For one thing, it's smaller. Yeah. How the heck did they make this thing smaller than the Xbox
magic.
One S?
Absolute magic. They sprinkled some magic Microsoft dust on it and made it smaller, and also black, because hopefully they learned their stupid lesson.
Yeah. So it looks really nice. It's a matte black, sort of like how the Xbox One S is a matte white. Looks really good. Another thing on the looks and design aspect, there aren't fan vents on the top of it anymore. This thing is stackable. Richard, you could buy like 5 of these and set them all on top of each other.
That's unlikely for me.
since you don't even play games on them.
Although that way I would have enough storage for all the games I download.
Hey, there you go. There you go. So speaking of storage, they didn't actually mention the storage size of this thing, but in a video where I believe this was the video that I watched of Major Nelson with Jeff Keighley, the guy behind the Video Game Awards, he said, Major Nelson said something like, yeah, I think we're just doing 1 terabyte. Like, he wasn't super confident, but it seemed pretty clear that there's only going to be one SKU, only one model of this, unlike the different storage capacity options that we have with the Xbox One S. It's just going to be one.
I say that that's probably true for launch time, but come on. This is coming out right before the holidays. You don't think that they're going to do a whole bunch of bundle SKUs with different configurations and, you know, get the special 2 terabyte one for a limited time? I mean, they've been doing that with every model for years.
I don't think they'll do that this year, though.
Hmm.
Next year, maybe. But maybe not. I think that what they've... I mean, I'm sure what they did is they looked at their sales numbers across the Xbox One and the Xbox One S to see where, you know, what models people are buying. And I bet the vast, vast, vast majority of people are just buying the lowest option for the cheapest amount of money and then buying an external hard drive when it gets full.
Right.
Because you can buy an external hard drive for less money. And with the Xbox One and One S, you actually got better performance by using an external hard drive because the USB 3 bus was faster than the bus that was used for the internal hard drive, which is crazy. Now, that's not going to be the case with the Xbox One X. They have increased I/O performance with this thing, and they have said we will be getting faster loading times. And that's a big deal. Like, some of these games take forever to load. So having that is going to be very, very much appreciated, especially for people like me who never bought an external hard drive. I just kind of deal with only having a few games installed at a time.
Yeah, and the games don't have to be in any way optimized for that. Your old titles will automatically load faster on the new device.
Right, exactly. So that's basically all the hardware specs and everything. The other and perhaps biggest question was the price. How much is this thing going to cost? There were a lot of predictions that it would be $399. When this thing was first announced last year, people were saying, I don't see how this could be less than $800. And then, of course, most people said, well, if it's $800, it's dead on arrival. No one's going to buy an $800 video game console. And I think some would, but not very many. And it wouldn't have worked out well for Microsoft. They kind of settled a little bit more in between at $499. What do you think of this price, Richard?
This is another lesson that, in this case, apparently they didn't learn, because this price did not work for the Xbox One when it came out. So, frankly, I was surprised by this. I expected that we would see the price of the Xbox One S permanently pushed down, and the One X would come in at the $399 price point, which aligns with their previous launch prices for devices if you didn't take the Kinect into account.
That's what I was really hoping they would do. And they did drop the price of the Xbox One S by $50 across the board. So the Xbox One S is now starting at $250, which is great. And when you compare that to the price of the One X, it's now half the price, which sounds great when you look at it that way. But when you look at it from the other direction, it's the Xbox One X is twice the cost of an Xbox One S. And that is pretty dramatic. The other thing, of course, is how does it compare to the competition? PlayStation, of course, has the regular PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro. The PlayStation 4, you know, depending on sales and stuff, fluctuates between that $250 and $300 price range. The PlayStation 4 Pro, which came out last holiday season, is $399. It's $100 more again, just like you mentioned at launch.
Yep.
When both of these consoles originally launched, the Xbox was $100 more, but it had the Kinect. So I think it definitely stinks that it's $500 instead of $400. And it will keep some people away. But what Microsoft has been saying for months and months and months since they announced the Scorpio was this is going to be a premium game console. It is going to be far and away the most powerful game console available, and it's targeted at the hardest of hardcore gamers who are willing to spend more money on a better experience. And that's what you're getting. You're getting the best graphics, the best performance possible on any gaming console, period. And including way better than even the PS4 Pro, because it is true 4K. They started off the show by showing Forza Motorsport 7 running at true 4K, you know, 4K visuals at 4K resolution at 60 frames per second. And it looked stunningly gorgeous. It was amazing.
Well, we weren't seeing 60 frames, but even still, it was beautiful.
Yeah. And the PS4 Pro can't do that. It's not really doing true 4K, and it's definitely not doing true 4K at 60 frames per second. So are people going to buy this? Yes, I think a lot of people are still going to buy this. So let's dig a little bit into the pros and cons and who we think might buy this and who we think won't and who this is good for and all that stuff. So let's start out with the pros. Like we just said, best graphics and performance available. And I think another important thing here is the PlayStation isn't the only competition. The PC is a big competitor to the Xbox. Even though they're kind of, you know, really similar platforms, a lot of games work on both. There are hardcore PC gamers who are building PCs who for the last year and a half have been laughing at console gamers saying, we've had 4K graphics for a while now. We can do this. And it's true.
Right.
But if you want to build a PC that can pump out this level of performance, you're looking at maybe three times the cost of an Xbox One X.
Yeah. And if you're going to buy one, like an Alienware or something, I mean, way more than that.
Yeah. I mean, you could be looking at $1,500, $2,000 easily. Because to get these graphics, you're going to need like an NVIDIA 1080. And that graphics card alone is $650. That's just the graphics card. So if you're looking for fantastic performance without destroying your budget, you can't even come close to beating the Xbox One X.
Right.
The next thing is, it's not just Microsoft and their first party studios who are supporting this thing. Third party developers and publishers across the board are super excited about the capabilities of the Xbox One X. They're all jumping on board. They're all many of them are planning to release versions of their games on the Xbox One X that run at a higher frame rate, run at higher resolutions, just run overall better.
Right.
And currently existing games, not including Microsoft ones, you know, Halo and Gears of War and all those things, all of them are going to receive updates or already support it. In the case of at least Gears of War, will receive updates to run better on the Xbox One X than they do currently. And, you know, Final Fantasy 15, I believe Mass Effect Andromeda, like lots and lots of big name games have already, you know, their publishers have already said, we're going to release patches to make this look even better on the Xbox One X. So full support across the third party marketplace. We already said faster loading times. It's a big deal. It really is. If you ever played Star Wars Battlefront, you know what slow load times are like. It's excruciating. And this will be significantly faster. And then this other one, it's definitely a pro. It'll play everything. If you've got Xbox One games already, it'll play all of them. If you've got Xbox 360 backwards compatible games, it'll play all of them. But that also kind of leads us into the cons. There aren't any exclusives to this console, and Microsoft has said that at least for the time being, they're not going to release a game that only works on the Xbox One X.
Right. I'm not convinced that that's a bad thing, because if they made Xbox One X exclusive, that's even harder to say, games this soon after coming out with the Xbox One S, knowing that the S can support 4K and HDR, and you know the promise of capabilities that we're really not fully seeing yet, I think there would be such a backlash. So I think it's very wise that they're making the move that these games are going to work on both platforms. It's just going to be better on the Xbox One X. And the betterness is better processing and optimizations that, as I understand it, game houses can take advantage of so that the experience is, in fact, smoother and better on the X.
Right. And, you know, one thing that we didn't mention, we've talked about this in the past, but if you missed our previous conversations about the Xbox One X, it isn't only going to look better if you have a 4K TV. This is also going to look better and run better on 1080p TVs, because what they're going to do is render at 4K and then do super sampling and make it look that much better on a 1080p set, and or run at higher frame rates or run at more consistent frame rates. So there are benefits to this, even if you don't have a 4K TV yet.
I'd want to see that. That sounds all very theoretical to me. I'd have to see side by side how that really looks.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an interesting comparison for sure. But we're talking about cons, so let's get back into the cons. If you already have an Xbox One, what is this getting you? Like, it's not getting you new games because there aren't any Xbox One X exclusives. So you're spending $500 to play the same games you already have, or at least the same games that you would already be buying, when you could put that money towards other things to get newer, different gaming experiences.
Yeah.
You could buy a PlayStation 4. You could upgrade the PC that you have and play PC-only games. I think that's kind of a tough call for some.
I want to clarify
Xbox
something.
Customers.
You said Xbox One, specifically if you have an Xbox One S. Because if you have the Xbox One S, then you're going to be able to play 4K games when 4K versions become available. The Xbox One is not going to do that.
No, the Xbox One S isn't ever really going to support 4K games.
I was under the impression that it was. No?
I don't think so, because it's still the same basic processor and graphics processor as the Xbox One.
Ah, it's just, okay.
It can handle 4K for video apps and stuff like that, but it's not going to be able to play Forza 7 at 4K. It's not going to happen.
Huh. Okay. I misunderstood that then. All right.
Yeah. So the main difference there is if you have an Xbox One and now you have a 4K TV, then the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X have, you know, big things in store for you. But if you're not that into having the best looking graphics in a game, but you have a 4K TV and you like watching 4K Netflix and stuff, the Xbox One S is still fine for you.
And not only fine, but the X gets you nothing more. Like, so this is probably a good time to just kind of talk about you and me. Will you be planning on getting this? Because before we knew the details on this, you were thinking that you probably would.
Right. I'm waffling a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I want to, but I like to call these people graphics whores. I'm not a graphics whore. I don't have to have the absolute best looking graphics, but it sure would be nice. And the load times, that's a big deal. I get sick of waiting around for games. If I've got a controller in my hand, I want to be using it. I don't want to be waiting, looking at a loading screen. So I haven't made up my mind yet, because I do have a PC, and I do like to play games on my PC, and it could definitely use some updates. And so I could put that money towards updating my PC too. But man, the idea of playing some of these games at 4K 60 frames per second, like, yeah, I could use some of this money to upgrade my gaming PC. But even if I spent $500 updating my PC, it still wouldn't be a better gaming machine than the Xbox One X. But the other side of me is thinking, I could buy like a used PS4 for like $200 and play some of the PS4 exclusives that I haven't been able to play. Like, I would really like to play Horizon Zero Dawn, and I can't, and I'm never going to be able to unless I buy a PlayStation.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm probably going to do it.
Now, I'm on the other side of that. I feel like this gets me nothing more than I already have.
Right, because you're not a gamer.
Right.
So, I don't, like, actually, that's not true. I kind of expected you to buy this just because you buy everything. But you are a logical person, too. And this really doesn't get you much. So.
Right, it doesn't. And I also am, this is such an obnoxious thing to say, I'm at maximum Xbox right now. I have more Xboxes in my home than I have active televisions. So it just doesn't make sense for me to get the next gen.
Well, right, but you could sell one of them. Like, if I get this, I will sell one of my two Xbox. You know, I have an Xbox One that I use for app development and occasional gaming if my main TV is taken. And I have an Xbox One S hooked up to the TV in the living room for gaming and all of the other video usage that the family uses it for. If I get an Xbox One X, I'm just going to sell one of the two machines that I have now.
Yeah, yeah. You're much better at that than I do. I have a pile of stuff in my closet that someday I figured I would sell.
I still have that pile. I've just started to get a little bit better at some of this. So I guess we probably leave it at that with the Xbox One X. I wouldn't be surprised that if we learn more. Oh, you know what we didn't say the release date.
When?
when? November 7th, which is later than I expected, because it's later than, it's 1 week later, that's a Tuesday, in case you're not looking at a calendar. It is 1 week later than the release date of the next Call of Duty. And Call of Duty is it's pretty much the biggest seller every single year. And I think a lot of people would have liked the idea of going to the store, picking up Call of Duty and the Xbox One X and walking home and loving life. And now, you know, but this is one of those weird things. Like, you can buy, if you've already got an Xbox One, you could buy Call of Duty, play it on your Xbox One for a week, and then get your Xbox One X and play it in, you know, even better performance. It's just kind of weird that they didn't find a way to release this thing a little bit earlier so that it's out at least before some of the big name games are coming out. Because I looked through the calendar for the big fall holiday releases, and I don't remember seeing any big name games that were coming out after the Xbox One X.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, before we get to specific games, two things that I think we should probably touch on. This, as you said, most powerful gaming console that'll be available. It is really out of the gate designed to support VR and AR, mixed reality and VR games. They showed none.
What makes you say that it's designed for VR and AR?
The things that I have read suggest that it by design has the power to support VR.
It's definitely powerful enough to support VR.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that means that it was designed for VR.
Well, I mean, I very seriously doubt that would come accidentally. I mean, I think they at some point in time had to consider that. My point is that if it's coming, is not here yet. That is not something that they talked about, from what I recall, at all in the announcement.
They never once mentioned VR, AR, or mixed reality. None of that. And I think it was just the week before, just days before the E3 announcement. I'm probably going to mess up his name. Alex Klipman, I think, is his name. The guy that's behind the HoloLens was doing an interview with somebody and basically said, nope, we're not doing VR yet. Not even with the Scorpio. And that Microsoft doesn't think that VR makes sense on the consoles unless it can be wireless, which kind of like that makes sense. Our controllers are wireless. Why shouldn't the headset be wireless?
Right.
That could just be fluff. It could just be, you know, marketing stuff to point back to, hey, look, HoloLens is wireless. Why shouldn't VR be wireless? I don't know. I think the bigger reason is probably that VR is not fully taking off in huge ways yet because it is still really expensive. So,
well, and it's also, let's be serious, it's not quite there yet. I mean, there's lots of cool stuff going on, but it has a long way to go to get to the smoothness, the immersive, the realistic immersiveness, and the just the general ease of use as just general high quality gaming. And as a result of the technology not quite being there yet and usable yet, also then the content isn't really there yet. And creating that sort of content, you know, imagine that you're creating these games. And in some cases, you have the ability to kind of control the space a lot by putting things on rails or by constraining your viewport to some degree in the game itself. Now let's just say, oh no, at all times you should be able to look anywhere you want to. And that's a whole heck of a lot more to design and develop for. So I think that it's going to be a good long time. I would say at least 2020 until we see just kind of common VR gaming as a general, regularly accepted thing.
Those are kind of vague terms, so I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Well, but you know, I mean, if you listen to the last show that I guested on, where I talked about all my Apple predictions, I'm hedging these days because I didn't do so well on the Apple predictions.
Well, sure. I expect that at E3 next year, E3 2018, Microsoft will be talking about VR on the Xbox. I don't think we're that far away.
No, we'll be talking about it for sure.
Well, and I think it'll be happening next year. I think we will have VR games and headsets on Xbox in 2018.
Okay, very true. Now, that was one thing. On the opposite end of that spectrum, one of the biggest crowd applauses in the entire presentation came from the announcement that your Xboxes, all of them, are soon going to be able to run original Xbox titles as they start rolling them out.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
This really surprised me. It really surprised me. You know, there were rumors, there were people hoping that this would happen. I don't understand it. Like, original Xbox games? Like, go back and look at an original Xbox game, people. They don't look good. Like, you were talking about 16-year-old video games. They don't look very good at all. And
yeah,
I don't. And it's a whole different, a completely different architecture for them to be emulating. It's not like the original Xbox and the Xbox One 360 used similar platforms. They didn't. They were completely different. So this has got to be a massive amount of work, and there has to be, like, how many games in the original Xbox library do people really want to play?
Right.
Like, I didn't have an original Xbox, so maybe my view on this is a little bit too skewed. But yeah, but you don't count either because you didn't play games on it.
Yeah, I had bought games though, and I did play some games back then, and I have since tossed them all. So I have no like proof of ownership if they were ever going to do anything like the ability to insert your disc and get the digital copy.
Yeah. I don't think this is worth spending too much time on because all they announced was it's coming. They announced like one game and then
one
today they announced another one during their daily thing. They announced Fusion Frenzy. They originally announced Crimson Skies. Wait and look for it. It'll be coming. The one thing that is cool about it is If you had an original Xbox, what you probably remember doing is essentially having LAN parties with your Xbox One, because you could wire them up together and play multiplayer games that way, because this was all before Xbox Live. And that will work. Like, you're going to be able to have LAN parties with people who have original Xboxes and Xbox Ones all playing on the same LAN, playing the same original Xbox games. And again, I don't know how useful that is, but it's probably a fun experience for one night.
How retro?
Super retro. Yeah. Let's go back to playing on our own TVs over the internet. Yeah, that's how I like it. Okay, so there's that. Let's get into some games, because they showed 42 games during this briefing. And they made a big deal of the word exclusive and used it a ton and said, we're going to show you 42 games, 22 of them are exclusive. This is kind of a lie, though, because when you hear exclusive from a company like Microsoft, you are meant to think that that means that game will only be playable on the Xbox and maybe Windows 10 PCs. But that was not the case. The vast majority of the times that Microsoft used the word exclusive during this briefing, it was in a phrase like console launch exclusive.
Right.
And all that means is when this game launches on consoles, it's going to come to the Xbox first.
First, right. It's a window.
Exactly. Like, maybe it could end up being a console exclusive, but it probably won't in pretty much any of these cases. So from now on, for the rest of this episode, when we talk about exclusives, we mean actual exclusives, games that will only be on the Xbox One and Windows 10, games that you will not be able to play on a PlayStation 4. So let's start with the exclusives, Richard. We already mentioned they started with Forza Motorsport 7. This wasn't a surprise. It looked gorgeous. None of that is surprising. They announced even more cars. I think they said over 700 cars. They showed semis. I don't want to race semi trucks. That's dumb. I don't need semi trucks in Forza Motorsport. It's yet another reason why I probably won't be buying this Forza Motorsport either, which I think probably surprises a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, surprises me.
I didn't get Forza Motorsport 6 either, because I don't think the racing is very good. The driving is good.
Right.
The graphics are phenomenal, but the racing isn't very good. A 3-lap race where you start at the back of a 12-car field is not realistic, and it's not good racing. So, yeah, I'm kind of tired of that. I switched to Project Cars. I love Project Cars. It's far more realistic, and they're releasing another one this fall, so I'm probably going to get that instead.
Now,
probably.
The thing that bugged me about the Forza announcement was that they then turned it into a Porsche advertisement.
Yes.
And in a completely obvious way. Like, what they could have done was they could have shown you all these scenes, shown you the perspective of, and then a whole bunch of scenes with this cool new Porsche that nobody's seen before, and then just kind of surprise everybody and say, and oh, by the way, that new car, we have one right here, and you're the first people to see it for real. Instead, right. They spent, I think it was like 3 or 4 minutes talking about this amazing digital to real life partnership that they created. It's a promotional ad. That's all it was. And it was painful to me. It seemed like just those scenes in Hawaii 5-0 and every other procedural on CBS where they're slowly demonstrating to the screen how they're using their Windows 10 tablets. It's just infuriating.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to interject a comment from Greg in our live chat room here. He says, I don't get too hung up on exclusive games. Isn't that what we as Windows Phone fans gripe about all the time? Yes, you're absolutely right, Greg. Console exclusive games aren't a good thing. The only people they're good for are the console manufacturers. They're not good for us gamers. They're not good for us at all. So no, it's not a good thing, but it makes sense to point them out, because if you are an Xbox user, you probably want to know what are the things that you're going to be able to play. And if you're not an Xbox One user, you probably want to know about the things that you can only play if you buy one, and it might influence your buying decisions.
Yep.
So that's why we're starting with these. Next up, State of Decay 2. This is a zombie game, which means I'm not interested, but it looks cool for zombie games. This was kind of surprising. It was one of the first exclusives that they showed, and we expected it, but we expected it this year, and it ain't coming out this year. It's got a spring 2018 release date, and every time I saw spring 2018 for any game at E3, regardless of who made it, I thought, good luck going against Red Dead Redemption 2. That's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. The next one, a game that we've seen about 100 times since the Xbox One was launched, Cuphead. They actually gave us a release date.
Yeah.
It's finally, supposedly, coming out September 29th.
Yeah, sure. I'll believe it when it's out.
That was my thought. Exactly. I won't believe this until it's on. Well, it won't be on mine. I'm not buying Cuphead. I'm not a good enough gamer to play Cuphead.
I will say it looks really cool. I mean,
it does.
From the artwork we've seen in the past, we knew that it was going to be this kind of 20s style throwback Betty Boopish feel to it, and it is all of that squared. I think the visuals on this are very clever, very unique. Very unique, I know, is a terrible thing to say. Unique, and I think it'll be very interesting to see. So, yeah, this might be something I get just because, you know, I might. It's cheap.
Exactly. It's only $20. So September 29th, $20. You can pre-order it now, but just being able to pre-order it doesn't guarantee a release date either. Just saying. All right, sticking with the exclusives. Probably the exclusive... I'm going to put this number 2 on my hype list. Crackdown 3. So excited for this game. I loved the original Crackdown. It's third person action game, open world, shoot everything, superpowers. You're basically turning yourself into a superhero cop. It was so much fun. It's got co-op. It's got a new multiplayer mode. They've been talking about this game for, I think, 2 years. Whenever they talk about it, they talk about how they're using Azure to do extra computation in the cloud for like massive destructibility and all that stuff. Turns out that won't be in the single player game. They're only doing all of the crazy cloud computing destructibility stuff in the online mode because they can guarantee that you're online and can connect to Azure when you're playing in the multiplayer online mode. So that's a little bit of a letdown. The bigger letdown with Crackdown is it doesn't look good at all. It looks terrible. It looks like garbage. I don't know why. I really hope it's just a polish thing and that they're really going to clean this up, but they've got a lot of cleaning up to do between now and November 7th. Yep, the same day the Xbox One X launches. That's when Crackdown 3 will be available. One more exclusive, and this is number 1 on my excited list, like absolutely must buy, Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Yes, a follow-up to Ori and the Blind Forest. Unfortunately, no date was given for this one, but it's going to be an insta-buy whenever it comes out.
And a really clever way that they presented this too. They had a musician playing the soundtrack live on a grand piano on stage while showing the demo.
Yes. And that totally makes sense because the music was phenomenal in Ori and the Blind Forest. And it's going to, I expect it to be every bit as great in Ori and the Will of the Wisp. So whenever that comes out, which has to be next year at this point, if it was this year, they would have said so. I will definitely be buying that. I would expect maybe a late spring release if they're close on this. Hopefully they are. But it's going to be 4K and all of that, and it's going to be amazing. Let's move on to the non-exclusives now that I think were really exciting announcements. This next game, it's not going to come as any surprise to you guys. this one is higher on my hype list than Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Life is Strange. It's a prequel to Life is Strange. This is not the Life is Strange sequel-ish or whatever the next Life is Strange project that we talked about just a couple of episodes ago. This is a separate one. And it's a prequel. It takes place before the game that hopefully you all have played by now. I've told you about it enough times. You should have played it all by now. So it's not the story of Max and Chloe. It's the story of Chloe and Rachel. And it doesn't sound like there's going to be any supernatural stuff. There isn't going to be any time travel stuff. It's just going to be the story of Chloe and her transition from the time when Max left to become the woman that she became by the time that Max showed back up. So it's going to be awesome. It comes out August 31st. It's only 3 episodes. I don't normally pre-order games, guys, but I pre-ordered this because it's Life is Strange. There's no way I'm not playing this. I even went ahead and pre-ordered the deluxe edition, which I've never done for anything, but the deluxe edition comes with another episode that's called Farewell, and it is the story of Max. So I'm assuming it takes place after the first Life is Strange game. So very curious to see what that's going to be. So pumped for that. August 31st, Life is Strange. All right. They also showed off PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. We've mentioned this a few times. I've mentioned it in games that I've been playing on PC. It's super cool. It is like number 2 or 3 on the most active Steam games right now. Everyone is playing this game on PC. It's a battle royale game, you versus 99 other people, and it's just whoever survives wins. The last person standing wins, and it is so intense and so much fun. It's coming to Xbox. It is coming to PlayStation 4. They haven't specifically said that, but what they keep saying is it's coming to Xbox One first, and it'll be out this year on Xbox One. Very, very excited for that. They also showed off Assassin's Creed Origins. It's been a couple of years since we've had a mainline Assassin's Creed game, and this one looked pretty sweet. Richard, you actually put this in the notes, which surprised me, because I've never actually played an Assassin's Creed game, and you went ahead and put a game in our lineup here. So why did you put in Assassin's Creed Origins?
Yeah, so my thoughts here, and you know, I kind of did the same thing with the Xbox One when it first came out. Like, I was really interested in Ghosts. I was really interested in Rome, largely because of the visuals. They're just amazing, right? Amazing visuals. And they had an opening scene where a hawk or an eagle is flying over the landscape, and the landscape that they drew for you and that you're seeing is just phenomenal. And I was just really taken by the detail in that and how nicely that all flowed. The game looked kind of interesting. The one thing that just killed me, and I don't know if this is a stylistic decision or what, but here you have these amazing, nearly photorealistic landscapes and animals, and then you spin around and you see the face of your character, and it's just like this horrible, like, jerk. It's like, ah, that doesn't look real at all. That's creepy.
Yeah.
I thought that was really weird. I mean, there are games, and you know, I'll say, I think Ghosts is one of them, where the characters, and in particular the faces of the characters, look so realistic. The other thing I just don't understand is, why can't we get walking right? Like, why is it so hard that we cannot make animated human people walk like they normally walk? The gait is just still not right. And I don't get that. I don't get that. The other title that really caught my attention, and this is partly because I'm getting the Blade Runner bug, is The Last Knight. And this is a deep color 8-bit-ish game. In other words, like the visuals look 8-bit, but it's in full color. And so the effect is just so different from anything else that you're used to seeing. And on the 8-bit, then they're applying effects like blurring and distance and haze and stuff like that that you normally wouldn't have in an 8-bit scene. And they say that this is actually Studio Ghibli inspired. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's the studio that does all of those Miyazaki films that I love. So this looked interesting to me and will probably be one that I'll look for, a year from now in Games with Gold.
This one, I totally missed this one. It might have, the presentation happened from 5 to like 6:45 p.m. So I ate dinner in there. So I had to like run out to the kitchen a couple of times to fill my plate and come back to the living room.
Yeah.
So it might have happened during that. I tried to do that when it was games that I didn't care about, like Minecraft. But I must have missed this one.
Yeah, it looks very cool. The mention to Blade Runner is because the world that they created looks like the Blade Runner world, complete with the flying cars.
Right, right. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the games we're going to highlight. That wasn't 42 games, but that's okay. One thing that I didn't hear mentioned a lot, and I had to go and look this up, was Xbox Play Anywhere. And that's important. It's really important to people who have PCs that they can game on in addition to Xboxes. And so I went and looked up to see which of these games were going to be Xbox Play Anywhere titles, meaning that they, if you buy it once on either platform, you can play it on the other, PC and Xbox One. And here's the list of the upcoming Xbox Play Anywhere titles. Forza 7, Super Lucky's Tale, which, looks like a comical, kiddie 3D action platformer. Crackdown 3, fortunately. Sea of Thieves. Oh, yeah, they showed Sea of Thieves a little bit. Some new stuff there. It still looks like basically the same game. Still not as excited as I had hoped that I would originally be. State of Decay 2 will be Xbox Play Anywhere. And the only third-party game that I could find, Middle-Earth Shadow of War, which does look awesome. I'm probably not going to get it because there's so many other things for me to play. But that's it. So I'm a little disappointed by that. I would like to see a few more of these games be Xbox Play Anywhere, but hopefully they'll continue to work with their partners to get more of these games licensed to play across all of them. So, Richard, there was one thing that didn't show up at this press conference that I think has been at every single Microsoft E3 presentation that they have ever given, but not in 2017. And that is Halo.
Yep.
There was no Halo.
Yep.
None.
There was a logo on a screen once when they talked about 4K upgrades coming, but right. Yeah, no, we're still a year away, teaser trailers, no new releases, no, I don't even know what you would call them, kind of pseudo sequel games that are a little bit off canon. Nope. There's nothing. Nothing Halo. Nope.
No Halo. And that's okay. It's okay. I saw an interview with Phil Spencer and he said, we're kind of screwed if we do and screwed if we don't. I'm trying to keep this a little bit more PG rated. He said, we get people who complain that when we talk about our exclusives, it's always just Halo, Gears of War, and Forza year after year. And then we have a year where there's no Gears and no first person shooter Halo, and people complain that we don't have any exclusives, so we can't win either way. But he said in another interview that I saw that one of their focuses, one of the things that they've learned, is to not show games way in advance of them launching. They did it with Crackdown 3 and it didn't really help them out. They did it with Scalebound and then canceled the title. Like, it just doesn't work out to show games 2 and 3 years out from when they launch. So there's going to be another Halo game. Like, there's going to be another Gears of War game. But if it's not coming out anytime soon, there's no reason for them to show that this year. Yeah. And I'm glad that they didn't spend the time doing it, because it doesn't really help out anybody.
Yeah. I have one final comment about the event. You mentioned to me that you thought it was surprising I wasn't watching in 4K. So I picked myself up, took my laptop out to the family room, watched it on the Xbox One S in 4K, and the stream in the app for the 4K presentation was beautiful, but it kept failing on me. It would get to certain points and it would either stall or it would completely restart. And there was no efficient way of, say, jumping ahead 15 minutes at a time or anything like that. So I ultimately gave up and reverted back to YouTube.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah. That's not cool.
No, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. All right. Well, so keeping with our gaming theme, we have some gaming news.
We've never been this gaming heavy, but sorry, guys, it's happening tonight. There just wasn't a lot of other stuff going on this week. Richard, did you ever buy an Xbox Design Lab controller?
I didn't, but you know, I got to see them for real when I was at the Microsoft store in New York City a couple weeks ago.
So Xbox Design Lab, of course, is the program where you can custom design your own Xbox controller to make it look pretty much however you want, to, you know, a whole bunch of different colors and all that stuff. Sort of like if you're watching the video stream, like my yellow and blue one that I made. I love this controller. And they've got some new stuff they're doing with the Design Lab. They've got new colors just across the board, new colors. They've got new metallic finishes for the triggers and the D-pads available in certain colors. And you can get rubber grips on the bottom, you know, sort of similar to like the Elite controller or some of the other controllers that they've released. And if you're in the UK, you can finally get one of your own.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. This is the first time that you've been able to actually order them in the UK, which is a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Our friends in the UK always feel like they're getting left behind. And well, because they usually do. But finally, they can get their own customized controllers.
Yep.
And as Greg is asking in the chat, do the Design Lab controllers have built-in Bluetooth? They do. They're essentially functionally identical to the controllers that come with the Xbox One S. So they're totally wireless. They've got the headset jack on the bottom, and they have Bluetooth to connect to your computer if you don't have one of the USB wireless controller dongle thingies. So there's that. And then there's also, of course, new deals with Gold and a spotlight sale going on. And I actually bought one of these things already. Richard is probably not. He's looking at the list right now, and I bet he can figure out which one I bought. Maybe. Might trick him. The first highlight here is Forza Horizon 3 is on sale. I love this game. I pre-ordered this game. It is now half off. It's $30. This game is so much fun. If you like driving games at all and you haven't played Forza Horizon 3, you should just get it. It is so much fun. And they have two awesome expansions for Forza Horizon 3. There was Blizzard Mountain, which is a bunch of snowy stuff, and the Hot Wheels expansion, which is like giant orange Hot Wheels tracks with loop-de-loops and all that craziness, right, you know, built into Australia. Like, it's ridiculous and sounds like a ton of fun. And the expansion pack is normally $35 because each of those expansions are $20, so you're saving a little bit of money. But right now, it's like half off. It's $17.49 for the expansion pack. That's what I bought. If that's what you guessed, ding, 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 you're a winner. Also, if you like Grand Theft Auto and for some reason you still haven't bought Grand Theft Auto 5, even though it's like 60 million copies sold at this point, that's on sale for $36. And Forza Motorsport 6 is also on sale at $25. There's some other stuff, but those are definitely the highlights of this week's deals with Gold.
Now, we also have some Games with Gold news that we don't have in the show notes, but as a reminder to people, at the end of this week, so probably the day that you're listening to this, you'll have your last chance to get Assassin's Creed 3 for Xbox 360. That, of course, is backwards compatible, or forwards compatible, I should say, and works on Xbox One. And then the new titles that'll be available starting this weekend are Watch Dogs for Xbox One and Dragon Age Origins for Xbox 360. And both of them go through to the middle of July.
Yeah, it's the weird craziness. Right. And those are free, and they all work on your Xbox One. Oh, also, there's some free DLC for Phantom Dust available all month. So grab those, and hopefully you grabbed Speedrunners. Actually, Speedrunners is available all month. Gosh, the Xbox One release schedule for Games with Gold, they have to fix this at some point. Just make it the first half of the month and the second half of the month, like the Xbox 360. Please just fix this, Microsoft. It would make our lives a whole lot easier, and that's what matters. All right, one piece of non-gaming news. If you're a Windows 10 insider, a huge new build was released of the Windows 10 Insider Preview Ring. This, of course, is a preview of the Fall Creators Update, and it's build number 16215. They released it for PC and for mobile. There's a ton of new features in here. A ton. I'm not getting into all of these. I wanted to point out some of the ones that were a little bit more relevant to you guys. And sorry if you were hoping for less gaming news, but some of this is gaming. They've got more HDR settings. more HDR settings, you know, specific control and information if you've got an HDR display hooked up to your PC. Also, the Xbox Game Bar will now take screenshots in HDR if you're playing in HDR, but the broadcasting doesn't support HDR yet. Screenshots, I can't believe this is new, but screenshots from the Xbox Game Bar will now be taken at the resolution that you're playing the game at. Shocking. So if you're playing at 4K, your screenshot will be in 4K. I can't believe it didn't already do this. But game clips, so the like 30-second video clips that you might record, those, if you're playing at a resolution higher than 1080p, they're still going to be transcoded down to 1080p, probably just to conserve system resources for your game. And then if you take a screenshot and you're playing HDR games, you know, I'm just going to read the sentence because I don't completely understand it, to tell you the truth. It says, screenshots of games running in HDR should now correctly save a copy in PNG that is tone mapped to SDR. I don't really get it. It seems like an HDR picture is not going to be HDR anymore, but they call that correct. I don't know.
I think if I understand this right, I think it's that the PNG images are just not capable of properly capturing what you're seeing in the HDR, and so they're going to be mapped to SDR. Is just a really weird way of putting it, but a regular picture,
right?
Non-HDR.
And then here's one other piece of advice: if you're used to just rushing out and installing an Insider Preview build on whatever machines that you're installing Insider Preview builds on, we've told you all this a bunch of times that you shouldn't do that, and that you shouldn't run this on your main production machines. And I'm not running this on a main production machine. I'm running this on my first generation Surface Pro. But I saw a message pop up that said, hey, new Insider Preview build. And I thought, that sounds like a good idea. Install.
What could possibly go wrong?
I didn't read anything. I didn't even know that it had as many features as it had. I just thought, what the heck? Let's install this thing. It did its full installation. It restarts and all that stuff. And, I can't connect to the Wi-Fi. What's going on here? And then they changed a bunch with the network settings and stuff, so I couldn't even really figure out what was going wrong. So then I went and read through the notes and was surprised by all of the features, and then got down to the very bottom under the section for known issues. And it said, some machines like the Surface Pro 1 and Surface Pro 2, Wi-Fi won't work anymore. To fix it, roll back to the previous build.
You could install on your Surface Pro 1 or 2 if you want to. But How do you even roll back if you don't have Wi-Fi?
Because it keeps the previous build on your machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
You end up with the windows.old folder, and so it just rolls back to that.
That's so very smart.
I take issue with the language that to fix it, you roll back to the previous build. That's not fixing it. That's just that. Like, fixing it means I get Wi-Fi with this build. Rolling back to the previous build is not a fix. It's a workaround at best. It's not a fix.
Well,
so anyway,
it is a preview.
Don't do this. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's my own dumb fault. I'm not blaming Microsoft at all for this. I should have read, at the very least, I should have read through the known issues before installing this build.
So, yeah, kind of like I didn't when I installed the first beta of the new version of Mac OS on the laptop behind me.
Whoops.
We'll see what happens when I'm finished with the show.
Hopefully that works out better than this version on my Surface did. All right, Richard, save our non-gaming fans. Tell us what you've been doing in your entertainment center, because I'm positive, even without looking at the list ahead of time, that it doesn't involve gaming at all.
All right, so I pulled out some old games. No, I'm kidding. So I mentioned that I bought a new AV receiver, and I have that all set up, and I'm loving my Dolby Atmos. And I have CEC set up on the device. So as many people know, HDMI has this capability, CEC, Consumer Electronics Control, that allows devices to control each other. And one of the main ways that that's useful, and frankly, one of the only ways that that's really useful if you have a universal remote, is that if you toss something to your TV directly, like you stream something from your laptop or your phone or something like that, or you bring YouTube up on the TV from one of those devices, then it'll automatically switch the receiver over so that you're getting the audio through the pass-through, the audio return channel, and then getting that to play properly. Well, CEC is giving me fits. CEC with my TV is causing my TiVo to not properly start when I turn everything on. Now, the TiVo is actually starting. The TiVo's there, and it's running, and there's a station on, and it's playing. But for whatever reason, the TV is somehow overriding it with its freaking visual, there's no input here, and a big, huge graphic that's moving.
Oh, no.
Which is, in fact, a signal that is triggering, you know, that the receiver is noticing and switching to. So it's like defeating itself. I don't understand what's going on. So I think I'm going to end up having to turn off CEC, which is fine, but it's just really frustrating because it is really useful when you want to send stuff directly to your TV. Now, the good thing is that the receiver that I have also has the ability to toss stuff to it, and then it will trigger the appropriate system like AirPlay or whatever else. So I may end up just using that instead, but man, it's just really frustrating. I was hoping for a more smooth experience than that.
Yeah.
Now on my Xbox, you mentioned the SoundCloud app last week. And so I was curious. And you and I are doing some stuff on the side that made me want to see what the SoundCloud experience was all about anyway. So I loaded it up. And when I go into the store to download it, I am bombarded with loud video, autoplay video promotions in the background on the page where you download this. Oh my God, that's obnoxious.
Now, to be fair, these aren't just like random advertisements. They're promo videos of the app or game that you're looking at.
Right. So it's the developer's promo video that they've created for that thing. And this is not an Xbox exclusive by any means. The new version of the iTunes store is doing this too. And it's equally obnoxious. I can't stand this. I don't like the idea of autoplay video, particularly if it's, you're not expecting for some loud sound to come on while you're just poking around in the store. And so that's actually startled me a couple times. And if I had the TV on and I was just doing stuff at night and I wasn't paying any attention to the volume because all I had was little, you know, boop, boop, boop sounds as I'm flipping through the UI, you know, late at night, you don't necessarily want that coming on. So I was not happy about that. Not happy about that at all. But I think this is a trend that we're going to see for a while, unfortunately. Meanwhile, watching some television, keeping up with Nashville, Justified, and caught a couple more episodes of season 4 of the Gilmore Girls. I completed season 3, the most recent season of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It was better than season 2, not as good as season 1, but I enjoyed it. And Orphan Black started, and it was weird. It took me a long time to actually try and figure out what was going on. I'm like, wait a minute, why are we, and what was... So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be good, but it took me a while to get with it. And because I don't have any half-hour comedy things going on right now with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt finished, then I ended up getting back to Weeds, which is just a good, funny, totally not family-friendly show that I've always enjoyed, and I never finished. So getting back to that. And because, I don't know, I wanted to, I've heard a lot about it, and don't judge me for this comment, it seemed relevant, I decided that I wanted to watch All the President's Men over the last week. And this is a 4 Academy Award-winning movie, and I couldn't keep myself awake.
Oh.
Have you ever seen this?
I have not.
I guess at the time, because it was so shocking, it was riveting and caught everybody's attention. I thought it was slow and, frankly, compared to the political stage of today, kind of boring.
Huh. All right. So maybe I shouldn't add that to my list of movies to watch.
Maybe not.
Okay. Maybe just watch cable news instead for a better story.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely more entertaining. All right. So what are you watching?
So I'm not sure what order I want to. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Instead of what I'm watching, I'm going to start with a little bit of an experience. I installed the Creators Update on my primary PC finally. Mm. And by and large, it's been a good experience. That also means that I finally have been able to use the nightlight feature in Windows 10. Because I use this computer in the evening. I don't use my Surface all that often in the evening. So it's nice. I like it. I like it a lot. It's good on the eyes, and I like it. That's about all I have to say about the Creators Update that we haven't already said a million times before. On the gaming side, it's mostly been similar stuff, some NHL, some Overwatch. But I did check out a new game. I got to check out The Culling. I can't remember if we mentioned this last week. It's only been out for a week or two, probably about 2 weeks by the time you're hearing this, on Xbox, but it's been out in preview on PC for, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months, I don't know.
Is this the dark party-going game?
No. This this one is base. It's another Battle Royale game that tries to completely rip off the Hunger Games in as many ways as possible, but they also try to make it like over the top and hilarious. Like they've got an announcer who's completely crazy. But I mean, it even goes to the point of like the player scoreboard is in the sky the way it is, you know, like when someone dies in the Hunger Games and there's a scoreboard in the sky and all that stuff. It's like that. Cool. It has a 2-hour free trial, so there's no reason not to check it out. And it's only like a 4.5 gig download, so it's not really going to cost you much in terms of time either. It was fun with a friend, but it's not as good as Battlegrounds, partly because it's just, I didn't have that same amount of tension as PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And one of the things that Battlegrounds does so well is that it's constantly making the map smaller and smaller, forcing you to get closer to the people who are still alive. And they do that in this game eventually, but it's not for like 15 minutes. So I was playing doubles with a friend of mine, And we spent 8, 9, 10-ish minutes before we saw anybody else. And that's kind of boring for, you know, a game that's supposed to be fairly quick. So it's not perfect, but it's kind of fun. I would consider getting it at $15, but maybe not $25. Yeah, I don't know. So check it out. It's 2 hours for free, so there's no reason not to. And then, of course, I mentioned this last time, that this would hopefully be the last time that I would say that I was watching hockey.
Oh, and I'm so glad that's over.
I can very happily say that I'm done watching hockey for the season because
your bird won.
The Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row. The first time a team has done it since the salary cap has been enacted. The first time a team has done it in 18 years. I am so, so excited, so proud, and frankly, a little bit shocked that they were able to pull it off. And I was on cloud nine Sunday night when they won the cup. Richard, I know you're not really into sports, but this game was tied for the entire game until the Penguins scored with a minute and 30 seconds to go in regulation before it went to overtime. That's crazy.
That's cool.
It was great.
That's cool.
I'm excited that they won, and frankly, kind of relieved to be done watching hockey. I love watching hockey, but when you're watching hockey every other night for 2 months, it consumes a lot of time.
Yeah, and it just seems like it lasts forever. Well, particularly if your team is in the finals, right?
Exactly.
I think you can easily solve that problem. Just start rooting for the Red Wings.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's definitely not going to happen.
They're closer anyway, right?
They are technically closer. They're only about an hour from me. But no, I will never root for the Red Wings. Sorry.
Ouch.
I have been a lifelong Penguins fan. I'm not switching, period. All right. So that's it, guys. We're done. We're finally done here. If you want to get a hold of us and be a part of the show with your feedback, there's a lot of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard's at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at Digi Media Zone. That's D-I-G-I Media Zone. You can like our page on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. We also, you know, in addition to the blog and Twitter and all of that stuff, and this podcast, Richard's got another podcast too. It's pretty stinking awesome, if I do say so myself. It's called Home On. He covers all of the latest home automation news. Richard, what's going on with Home On?
Yeah, you're asking that because what you really want to say is, where's that episode you said we were going to have? And what's ended up happening is I've delayed so long that there were some pretty big announcements that I need to get it woven into this episode. And so I am doing that and expect to have this out in the next couple of days.
Okay, good. Glad to hear. I can't wait to hear this episode. And then, of course, you know, Twitter is fun. Facebook is fun. Email is fun, too. But maybe the most fun way to interact is to be here when we're recording the show live. We've got video and audio. We've also got a chat room. You know, we mentioned a couple of messages from listeners in the chat tonight. It doesn't get any more real time than that, guys. We do this show usually Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, but sometimes it's a little bit different. So follow us on Twitter because we always tweet when the show is going to be going live. So hopefully we will see you for that next week, because that's going to do it for episode 411. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.